Turn your Bible with me to Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2. We all hate hypocrisy, do we not? If you want to insult fellow believers in Christ in ultimate way, you call that person hypocrite. And probably most likely you will have some serious trouble in your hand. Even the unbeliever does not like to be called hypocrite if they understand what the meaning of it is. Ultimately, our Lord God despises hypocrisy, especially the believer's hypocrisy. In our last study of the Malachi in chapter 1, the Lord grilled the Jews for bringing corrupted sacrifice, corrupt offering, like a roadkill, that kind of stuff, as a sacrifice. They were practically blasphemy to God. In chapter 2, we get to see how the Lord chastised the corrupt priests this time, and who should know better, yet they chose not to obey the law of the priest that was given by the Lord to them. However, they still liked and enjoy the status of being a priest, so they could continue their gigs. In my opinion, it's nothing more than gig. It's not a ministry. To make the matter worse, they not only committed disobedience to the Lord and hypocrisy to the other believers, but also they committed infidelity physically to their wives and went through the divorce from their wives. That's what we're going to see in chapter 2. And there's no other scripture in the Bible that speaks about divorce more clearly than this portion from the heart of God. And see, you will feel the passion and anguish from God about the divorce, because it was not a part of His original concept of marriage. Divorce was not in the picture. And because He instituted the marriage, He ordained the marriage at the beginning. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, You made everything good. Each time, when You finish each day of creation, You said it is good. Yes, it is us who followed up Your perfect creation. It is us who sin against You. It is us who continue to sin against our Father in heaven. As Wayne prayed, as he mentioned in his prayer, by Your mercy, we are cleansed. Through the blood of Jesus, we are washed white as snow. And Your word says, come, let us reason together. And You will be white as snow, though Your sin is scarlet. Thank You, Father. As a royal priest, as a peculiar people, let us learn from this people, the priest, Jewish priest, who sin against You. Let us learn from them, that we may not commit the same sin like they did. Speak to our heart, Lord. Give us the wisdom to understand Your truth. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 2 in Malachi. And now, O priest, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart, to give glory to My name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already, because you do not take it to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your descendants and spread a refuse on your faces, and refuse of your solemn feast, and one will take you away with it. Then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that My covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord of hosts. See, that this This priest's sin is based on the hollow formalism, and it's a religion of the surface emotion and outward sign, but not in their hearts. We find this all over the city, all Tucson, as well as here. They go through the motion. They go through the things they do. They, every week, every service. Do they have a heart behind it? A good example is here. In 2005, the London Times reported a new teaching document issued by the Roman Catholic Bishop of England, Wales, and Scotland warns that Catholics should not take Bible literally. It's not infallible, they say. According to them, we should not expect to find the scripture full scientific accuracy or complete historical precision. They say that in the booklet, The Gift of the Scripture, you saw the cover of that. And it continues. And so what sort of the things that they are not accurate? According to their document, creation for one, Genesis, they note, has two different and sometimes conflicting creation stories and cannot be considered historical. Rather, Bishop says it simply contains historical traces. I said this before. I will say again. You have to understand their writing style, Hebrew writing style. They say one thing, and then they will repeat the same thing, but in more detail. You understand me? So in chapter 1 and 2, and in chapter 1, it has 6 days of creation. It explains it. And then chapter 2, again, it talks about creation. But this time, it seems like people are confused. Well, is it two different creation? No, it's not. It's the same thing in more in detail from the different point of view. So in Western mind, guess what we think? Two stories. Duh, right? It's not. I'm sorry, I went too fast. You have to wonder why these bishops still hold their position as the bishops of the Catholic. Why don't they just walk away from their bishop's position and become a flat-out antagonistic group against Christianity and God? By the way, the Vatican, to my surprise, they put this thing as a heresy. Even though they come up with their own heresies, they said that this is a heresy. Look what the Lord says in verse 3. Back to verse 3, please. Behold, I will rebuke your descendants, spread refuse on your face. What is the refuse? It's a nice way to say the poop, right? Dung, exactly. God says, I will plaster.
This is actually, it's more like thorn or tomato.
It's a far worse than that. It's a far worse than that.
That's what it's implying.
Horse manure. It's a manure, or human manure, whatever that is. Can you imagine Jewish priests, if they the rope passed by the dead corpse within the distance, a short distance, they have to go change the clothes, they have to take a bath. They have to be really careful, clean or unclean. God's going to dump a poop on their face, literally. See, this would be the ultimate insult. The motive of God's punishment, listen carefully, the motive of God's punishment is not the punishment itself like some sort of the sadistic, mean, divine being that you would find in Hindu religion. Rather, the Lord wants to restore our relationship with Him through the repentance that comes from the punishment. However, very little people tend to turn to God. Then, you know, isn't that typical? People, when they get punished, they face the consequences. They usually whine and cry and mob and gripe about the situation they are in. And they don't think about, they are the one who put themselves into it. Don't look at me like you've never done that before. You've done that before, right? And we complain a lot of times if we're in a financial bind, the debt is up to eyeballs, and then we complain about the finance. Guess who racked up the credit card bill? It's the whole fault. It has nothing to do with you. Like a ATV? It's hers. Oh, of course.
I sent her down to the store.
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay, before Diane punched him, let's go to the verse 5. My covenant was with him, one of life and peace, and I gave them to him that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before my name, and the law of the truth was in his mouth. And the injustice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and turned many away from the iniquity. For the lips of the priest should keep knowledge, and the people should seek the law from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. While I was studying this portion, when I read this thing, the Lord reminded me, chapter 25 in Numbers. Okay, let's go to chapter 25, Numbers verse 6. Number 25. Give you the quick story that, you know, Balaam is the one who was asked to curse. And instead of cursing, he prophesied a blessing to the Israeli. Before he left, he gave one extra consultation free of charge to the Balak, the prince, the king of the Moabite. If you want to destroy the Israeli, send out your loose woman down to the Israeli camp. While they're having sex and they start to worship your idol, God will destroy the Israeli from within. Verse 6. Indeed, and when they started doing that, God sent out the disease and started to kill them left and right. Indeed, one of the children of Israel came and presented to the brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses, in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel. This guy is a gutsy. He's blatantly showing his new girlfriend, pagan girlfriend, who was weeping at the door of the tabernacle of the meeting. Now, when the Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose from among the congregation. He took the javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through the man of Israel and the woman through her body. So the plague was stopped among the children of Israel, and those who died in the plague were 24,000. You tell me, sin does not bring the consequences. Verse 10, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, and the priest, has turned back my wrath from the children of Israel, because, underline, highlight, next few words, he was zealous with my zeal among them. Note that, please. So that I did not consume the children of Israel in my zeal. Listen, when Phinehas saw that this ungodly and disobedient act by the Israel man, he was zealous with God's zeal and killed the man with the Midianite woman. We too must have the same kind of zeal for the Lord, which is willing to destroy our own sin and even the motive of our sins. I'm not asking you to go make a shish kebab out of all the people that you see, all the sinners. Take care of your own sins. Even the motive of the sin. In verse 6 and 7 of the Malachi, 6-7 are the job description for the priest in that day, pastor and the Bible teachers today. If you are part of that group, Bible teachers, And if you are ministry leaders, pay attention here. And by looking around, you all qualify. Okay? This priest didn't have a fear of the Lord. Many false clergies around the world do not have a fear. Just like the Catholic bishop of the England and Wales and Scotland, they did not have a fear of God. That's why they claim that the Bible is not infallible. How dare do that? Because their hearts are not with the Lord. Not very many things are horrible to the Lord like a habitual ritual. Think about it. When you come to church on Sunday morning, I challenged you this before. Do you come to church to hear from God or do you come to do your thing, religious thing? Are you hearing me? Do you do your Sunday morning religious thing, Thursday night religious thing, or do you come here to hear from God and so we can be changed? This is important. Privilege of the being pastor, Bible teachers, and leaders of the ministry come with a great responsibility to follow what the Lord says in the Bible. Okay? Freedom comes with a responsibility. Privilege comes with a responsibility. High rank comes with the privilege. Responsibility. Verse 8. And you have departed from the way, you have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. And therefore I also have made you contemptible and base before all the people, because you have not kept my ways, but have shown partiality in the law. It was bad enough the priest was disobeying the Lord. Now they're causing other people to stumble as well. Like a Pharisee in Jesus' time, he declared to them, they are the toxic, they are poison to the rest of people, and defiled everything and everybody they touch. I don't think there is any worse place to be than the being on the God's blacklist. When, huh? Of my Friday prayer list is a nothing. That's nothing. Matthew chapter 23, please. Matthew 23. Do you know what Pastor Jack said about my Friday prayer list? I prayed for this couple people. One person died. Another person got deadly sick. And one time, my daughter, when she was a teenager, she showed attitude. So I said, you're going to be on my Friday prayer list. Next day, she changed her mind real quickly. Daddy, take me off the Friday prayer list. I guess she wasn't ready to see her maker yet. Isn't it better for us to be right with God before death than then go to hell and with a healthy body? What good is it? Verse 15 of chapter 23. Woe to you. This is a red letter if you have a red letter Bible. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Tell me, God, Jesus was mincing his word. For you travel in land and sea when one proselyte, and when he is one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourself.
Is that loving Jesus?
Yeah, that's the loving Jesus. See, this isn't limited to the priests and pastors, Bible teachers, and the ministry leaders. All of us, as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we are responsible to be the true follower of Jesus Christ, to give a true presentation to the unbelievers in the world.
Yeah, it's not just a show, a put-on, like a stage show.
Exactly.
It's not, you know,
St. Augustine of Assisi said, preach the gospel if you have to use the word. Back to verse 10 of chapter 2 in Malachi. Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously with one another by profaning the covenant of the fathers? Judah has dealt treacherously, and an abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah has profaned the Lord's holy institution, which he loves. He has married the daughter of the foreign god. Underline the Lord's holy institution, and then right there, one word, marriage. That's what he's talking about. Having dealt with the sins of the priest Malachi, now turn to the nation as a whole and confront the men who divorced their wives to marry pagan woman. God's command against mixed marriage in Israel has nothing to do with the race, but has everything to do with the faith. Okay? God is not concerned about race at all. Yeah. But about faith. There is even foreign wives in genealogy of Jesus Christ. Ruth was a Moabite. But before she came and got married to Boaz, she became a believer of Jesus Christ, a believer of God of Israel. Another one, Rahab. Out of all the occupation, probably oldest occupation, prostitute. You mean God used a prostitute in part of a genealogy? Yeah. She happened to have more faith than many of the pastors in this world. She believed in God, the God of Israel. So she was including that. Man loving pagan woman was not a new problem in the Jewish nation. Remember when they came out of Egypt. Can I change the slide? Am I not going to get yelled at, Bill?
No.
No, okay. Thank you. When they came out of Egypt, there were mixed multitudes according to Exodus chapter 12. Remember, that means Israeli people had Egyptian spouse. Guess who caused the problem while they journeyed through the wilderness? This mixed multitude, each time, they wanted to stone Moses and go back to Egypt. Garlic and the onions and all these smelly things they want. But they didn't mention about slavery. Isn't that just like the TV commercial, beer commercial, or the alcohol commercial, and the casino? Everybody's winning. They're all smiling. None of them is broke. And none of them just blow up their mortgage. Or beer commercial, everybody's slim and trim. There's no beer belly. Nobody's puking their guts out. This mixed multitude. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, chapter 6, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14. You there yet? Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with the lawlessness, and what communion has light with the darkness, and what accord has Christ with the burial, or what part has believer with unbeliever, and what agreement has the temple of God with the idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You know, I had several occasions to talk with the believers who shouldn't have known better, but they chose to go out and date and engage and eventually marry to the unbelievers. I tell them about this portion of scripture, and I lost count how many times I talk with those people. Yet, I have not seen one person saying, okay, preacher, you're right, I'm going to stop getting involved with this person. I'll turn back to God. I'll repent. You know what they do? Typically, the first thing they do, they quit coming to church. As if they don't hear the word of God, they don't hear my advice, so God forgot about them. God kind of, oh yeah, you too. I know what you guys need. Probably you will lead that person to me later. So it's like a missionary dating. Which part of no you do not understand? And they go out, and they start to go to different church, or they, if they go at all, and they get married. There were cases, didn't even last a year. And if their marriage lasts, and they are miserable. Why would they be miserable? Because here's one with the Holy Spirit, one controlled by Satan. How can it be equally yoked? Having a Great Dane and Chihuahua together and pulling the yoke together. Does it work? No, it does not work. And I had one case in Calvary Tucson. This person said, well, since we married unequally yoked, I should divorce. So I went back to chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians. No, if once you're married, you're with that person. Unless that person chooses to leave, you are not going to go through divorce. Folks, marriage is God's holy institution. We just read, which He had ordained and He loves. When we sin against our marriage and our marriage vow, we sin against God. He has set apart marriage for the special meaning, special purpose in life of His people. Marriage is God's idea, not people's idea. Okay? It's God's idea. Can I change the slide? Oh, I don't have to change it. Because it's God's institution, He is the only one who can define the qualification. No one else. One genetic man and one genetic woman. Not homosexual marriage, not cross genders, etc. It is no wonder why the homosexuality is abomination to the Lord. You know, we have a bylaw. Our bylaw did not mention anything about, you know, homosexuality. The reason is because I copied from some other churches, another Calvary Chapel's bylaw, and just changed our names to ours. Because why reinvent the wheel? Because they already have a good one. To the point now, if we don't specifically specify genetic man and genetic woman, some bozo, the homosexual guy, will say, well, this is my woman. This is my wife. And I look at him and say, there's a 5 o'clock shadow. It's not going to work. And they will sue church and sue the officers of the church, and they will drag us just for fun of it. ACLU will be all over for them. That's a prevalent in California. Okay, tilt the country, all the nuts and fruitcake went to this California. That's why. But they are coming. So we had to amend our bylaw. We had to amend the bylaw and specifically stating a genetic man and genetic woman. And our church, according to Bible, we are limited to what we can do, what we can perform. In other words, by law and by the law of the land so far, our church is protected. We don't have to lease our church building if we get to have. We don't have to lease the building for the homosexual marriage or the funeral. I believe it's one of the church I heard a story. It was a funeral, and they allowed him to bring the, you know how at the funeral they showed the slide, bunch of photos, and Lo and behold, there is a photo of this man kissing another man. And church staff was a flabbergasted, and they said, did you know this about this man? The pastor says, no, I had no idea. Pastor is, you know, most of the pastors like me and oblivious for that kind of thing. Because they assume that staff will take care of it. And while they're preparing, it was not in actual funeral service. They were, the this person was preparing the slide, the demo, presentation. So they told the family, no, you cannot have a funeral here because it's against the church policy. Guess what? They sued the church and they won. Because they did not have the thing in the bylaw. They were not protected. It ain't going to happen in our church, so that we change the bylaw. That's the kind of world we are living in. Isn't that dandy? Verse 12. May the Lord cut off from the tent of Jacob the man who does this, being awake and aware, yet who brings an offering to the Lord of hosts. And this is the second thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying, so that he does not regard the offering anymore, nor receive it with a good will from your hand. Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been the witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously, yet she is your companion. Your wife is by covenant. Verse 15. But did he not make them one, having the remnant of the Spirit? But and why one? He seeked godly offspring. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. For the Lord God of Israel says that, underline, highlight, circle, next three words, he hates divorce. Let me say one more time. He hates divorce. For this covers one's garment with the violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, that you do not deal treacherously. To marry a pagan woman, the Jewish man went through the divorce from his wife, and her tears covered the altar of God. Then this Jewish man brought the offering to God. Hey, God, here's my offering. And God said, I will not hear from you. It's the same thing as like the for in our term. There is a man says, well, I know this is a sin against God, but I'm going to do it anyway. And then after I commit the sin against God, I'll ask God to forgive me. Really? Premeditated sin, exactly. According to what we just read, you know, and instead of forgiving them, God said they're ready to cut them off. In the matter of ethic and moral, there are many things in society that are legal. Divorce is illegal as long as you get it done, right? Especially in Arizona, no fault divorce, quote. Anything can fly. But not everything is biblical. It might be winked at by the law of the land, but it will not be winked at by God of the universe. Bride and groom must be remembered that God is unseen witness at their wedding and every wedding. He also witnessed those who have sex who are not married. One day it will come the terrible harvest from the seed being planted today by those who despise God's commandment and the principle he has built into nature. Verse 16, go back to verse 16, God hates divorce. It's a clear commandment from the lips of God, isn't it? How can it be more clear than that? God hates divorce. And so what, is there any way that I can go through a divorce? Yeah, since it's a physical union as one, there is a way to get out. Physical causes, Number one, death. You die, okay, you can get out of that marriage. Good reason. Romans chapter 7, please. If you somebody come to me and said, I really want to get out of this marriage, well, the first thing is that option is that you can die. Then you're really out. You don't have to put up with your wife. Go for it. She might even appreciate your death. Yeah, life insurance. She'll be on the door. For the woman, are you telling her to don't get an idea? Okay. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if the wild husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress. Did I say it correct?
Yeah.
Adulteress. Okay. Though she has married another man. What would be the second cause? Sexual sin. Sexual sin. In Matthew 19, please. Matthew 19:9. Matthew 19:9. Jesus speaking. I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for the sexual immorality. Some people cannot handle, some people cannot forgive, some people cannot forget. And married another committed adultery. Whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. Is it clear enough for you? To me, it is. Is there any other way to go through divorce? Yeah, there's one more way. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is a desertion. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 15. Jack Leverty, what did you do with my 1 Corinthians? There it is, never mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 15, it says, but if unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such a case. But God has called us to peace. So unbelieving spouse said, I'm going to go to somebody else, or I'm done with this marriage. You don't have to hold on to it. If they choose to go, let them go. Now, and then somebody said, well, then can I make him to go? No, that doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. Listen, God's original intent was that one man, one woman to be devoted to each other in marriage for one lifetime. Divorce for a reason other than those given in Scripture, even though legal, would grieve the heart of God. I've seen some believers who look for the biblical reference in the Bible for divorce. Even, of course, they've come up with this thing, what about this preacher? It's out of context. I had an occasion one recently to justify the separation, and I thought about it. Maybe I can cross the table and smack on the side of the head. Maybe they will wake up. And some people say, well, it's just separation. Well, that separation is the first step of divorce. How about this? How about just, why don't I just follow God and let Him heal our marriage? To me, it's a better concept. By the way, what does it mean? It covers the garment with the violence. The modern Western society, when Bill got on his knees and begged Diane to marry him.
He was there.
Yeah. He bought this ring that he could not afford. He's still paying for it, probably.
No, it's so tiny.
It was so tiny. Listen to her. Oh, that's cold.
That is cold.
You're going to have a talk with her later, okay? Anyway, he begged her to marry. That's the engagement. That's the asking her to unite with him. In Israel, there's a term covering the person, you know, covering a woman with the corner of his garment. So, I heard that somewhere. Where do we hear that? Ruth. Chapter 3, please. I just put this up together. You know what? In your Bible, in New King, if you have a New King James Version, it has a lousy translation. New Living Translation really bright and lighten up this part. It says, according to New Living Translation, Boaz says, "Who are you?" he demanded. This is Ruth speaking. "I am your servant Ruth," she replied. "Spread the corner of your covering over me, for you are my family redeemer." That's their custom. Corner of garment. So, corner of garment covering the person. In New King James, it says, "Put me under your wings." Yeah, we have that term in America, but it's not quite jiving with the Hebrew style. Let's go down to, if a man divorces his wife, and instead of having a garment that symbolized love, he had a garment that symbolized violence. He wrenched a part which God has set one. By his infidelity, he made a marriage bed, a place of impurity and violence. Some people say, well, my divorce went very smooth and it didn't hurt anybody. Really? How do you know the other person was not hurt? At least God is hurting. God hurt. Verse 17. If you have wearied the Lord with your word, yet you say, in what way have we wearied him? In that you said, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. Or, where is God of justice? People of God in Malachi dead were depressed and discouraged because it seems like a wicked prospering, and it's better than, they are doing better than godly. And if they are filled with the doubt and unbelief. Pretty much like now, right? Our just God does not deal with the evil ones every time they do something wrong. If that's the case, there would not be anyone on earth alive, including us. Right? We were once unbelievers. We still sin. In His time, in His way, It's a good thing that the Lord has mercy on us, not just justice only. Let's make two applications. Number one, all of us are responsible to be true followers of Jesus Christ, to give a true representation to unbelievers in the world. We need to be the true followers of Jesus Christ to give a true representation. Second application is, divorce for the reason other than those given in the scripture, even though legal, would grieve the heart of God. He hates divorce. And some people bound to ask, what about the guy who beat up his wife? Well, call cop, stick him in the prison for a long time. And is she still bound by it? According to law of the Lord? Yes. Is it fair? No. It doesn't sound like a fair, but that's what God says. But God will honor that person. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. It's not easy. This kind of thing is not easy to preach, is not easy to listen, is not easy, certainly not easy to follow. Because not in this group, but Many people want to do what they wanted to do, especially when it comes to marriage. But let us have the heart to represent you properly. Not the way we want, but the way you want. So the unbelievers may see you, true part of you, all true part, and that you alone receive honor and praise. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen.